You know these guys, Steve Berlin from Los Lobos. Huge history with the city of Edmonton. Dante, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven, Steve.
My pleasure. Good to meet you.
Yeah, so you guys are coming to Edmonton. Are you aware of the relationship between La Bamba and the city of Edmonton?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a story. We're really honored to be part of that story. You never know when you create something how it's going to resonate in the world, and everything about that story is just so wonderful and life-affirming and
yeah.
Everything you hope good art will do.
Yeah, absolutely. And even for me, this is a bit of a full circle moment for me, because I watched La Bamba the movie in theaters, had to have been about a dozen times when I was about 10 years old. It changed my life. It made me fall in love with music from the 50s. So thank you so much for that.
Well, my pleasure.
Yeah. And, you know, when you guys were asked to create that, you know, much of that soundtrack, I know you guys did Come On, Let's Go, you guys did Framed, you guys did about 70% of that soundtrack. What was your initial response to doing the music for that soundtrack?
It dates back to when we first started. We became very close with Richie's family, who live outside of Santa Cruz in a town called Watsonville. And in our early days, we would come up and play in that area quite a bit. They would always feed us, take care of us. You know, they're just very incredibly generous. I think it's three sisters, two brothers, and the mom. So we got very close to them this is way before the movie. And then they told us that they had sold the rights to Richie's story, but their only stipulation was that we were the only ones that could touch Richie's music, which I thought was incredibly brave on their part. I knew we'd do a good job, but, you know, like, there was like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But we said, well, we'll treat it with the respect and the admiration it deserves. And sure enough, that they were on to their word. Like, nobody else touched his music but us. But, you know, I think it's important, I enjoy pointing out that when we started, there was zero chance that this was going to be anything other than direct to cable or direct to the bargain bin movie. I mean, it was first time director, no stars, about a kid that wrote 18 songs of his life and tragically died. I mean, it was not exactly a recipe for massive international success. So it's not like, while we were working on it, we were, we thought there was a big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or anything like that. It was, you know, we were doing it out of love for the family and obviously for the tradition. But the movie was, it was not a good movie until very late in the process. There's a lot of fits and starts and turns, and they kept changing the script. And, you know, there was a lot of, it wasn't like the movie that you see now. It took a long time to get it right. And I just remember, I tell the story, like the day we had to finish, the next day we were leaving for a long European trip. And I remember, I saw the final cut. I just remember thinking they'd cut a lot of there was a lot of like clutter in the version that we were scoring. And they literally cut away all of it. So it was just this very sort of story that you saw 10 times. It was very straightforward and very emotional. And there wasn't any, there were no side, there was a lot of sidelines, like side plots, that they just literally cut 100% of it out. And I just remember walking out of the editing room going, wow, they actually made a pretty good movie. It's a shame nobody's ever going to see it. So, shows you how wrong I could be.
Right.
But then, you know, comes out and it's a big hit, and you know, nobody was more surprised than we were, trust me.
Yeah. And you know, there was talk, I think last year, about, you know, there being a remake, and to me, some things don't need to be remade, but I'm kind of excited for it too. How did you guys feel about hearing that the movie was going to get rebooted, and have you been asked to touch any of the newest version?
We have not. I have absolutely no idea what they're thinking. They're really, you know, we did all of the songs pretty much, you know, I mean, it's not like he had a rich life before the tragic crash. So it's not like, you know, Star Wars, you can invent a pre-story. There isn't one.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what they're thinking or what they're going to do, but no, they haven't reached out to us. We know one of the people involved, but you know, you think if they wanted us, they would have reached out to us by now. So I imagine they have something completely different in mind. Maybe just like they remade West Side Story with, you know, lots of young Latin artists. So, you know, maybe they'll do something like that. I don't know. We'll see. But we're not in it.
Fair enough. Now, how important was it for you guys to be able to you know, as a band, to be able to mix that traditional Latin flair in with sort of the contemporary rock and roll, and then bring that to the masses?
Well, that's kind of what we do, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that would be, if we had to write a mission statement, that's kind of what we, that's what my band does. So it wasn't like it was out of our wheelhouse at all. But honestly, you know, for the movie, we were trying to get it to sound dated. I mean, we're trying to get it to sound kind of vintage-y. I mean, the record is obviously, you know, it sounds pretty modern, but, you know, for the movie, it was sort of, you know, we didn't want it to sound out of place. We you know, we had to make it fit.
Awesome. Now, you guys have been together 5 decades now. What advice can you give to other bands to, you know, stay in the music industry and not want to slit each other's throats?
Well, I would say that the key for us was the fact that the guys were sort of grown up when we started. Like, they all had families, and they also, I mean, you really can't do this anymore, I'm pretty sure, but there was 7 years of complete obscurity. You know, not unlike the Beatles, not that we're like the Beatles in any respect, but, you know, there were 7 years of learning how to be adults together and to, you know, forgive the minor day-to-day stuff that everybody does that drives other people crazy. It's, that was really the key, that, you know, by the time I met them, I mean, that all happened way before, I was still in Philadelphia and all that was going on, but they had a chance to grow up and learn how to play together way out of the limelight. They were just playing backyard parties in East Los Angeles and Quincieras and stuff like that. And they got a chance to basically develop all of their skills with nobody really paying attention. These days, you know, you make something in your bedroom and it's on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you don't really get a, you don't get a chance to grow organically anymore, which is, I think, somewhat tragic. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. It's just like try to, I mean, I don't know if you could really do what we did now. I mean, honestly, there's the everything is, every single thing is completely 180 degrees from where we started. So, but I think, you know, a lot of it is just learning how to just forgive and forget. Like, you know, we scrabble, you know, we squabble like any other family. But at the end of the day, you know, we, even if we've had a contentious disagreement about something, you know, we play a show and, you know, by the end of the show, you just, what the heck was that all about? So I think a lot of it is just learning how to be with other people and not, you know, like just concentrate on the important stuff.
Once again, chatting with Steve Berlin from the legendary Los Lobos. They are coming to town May 15th, playing the River Cree Resort and Casino. You guys want to make sure you get your tickets to the show. Thanks for chatting with us, Steve, and we can't wait to see you guys when you come to Edmonton.
My pleasure.